Today I want to talk about making the right choice. Now, we all live for something. We all look for something to be the meaning in our life, and whatever that is becomes what we live for. And we can live for our careers, we can live for our politics, we can live for our family. Whatever gives you meaning and satisfaction ultimately controls you. You're never actually your own master. You're never actually free. Something else is always in control. And I think most of us just don't want to believe that. I mean, even if you say, well, you know what, Seth? I don't give myself to anything. I'm my own person. Well, your freedom is in control. Your sense of independence is what you live for. You know, David Foster Wallace, the postmodern novelist, he gave a commencement address at Kenyon College, and he said something that we all need to hear. And so let me quote what he said. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. An outstanding reason for choosing some sort of god or spiritual thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. Now, David Foster Wallace definitely wasn't a Christian, but he knew human nature, and I think he's right. We all worship something. The only choice we get is what to worship. And so today, we need to make the right choice, because the wrong choice will eat us alive. Now, do you want to see what the wrong choice looks like? We actually saw it in our Exodus reading today. Here, let me read you Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." God rescued his people, and yet they turned away from him. Actually, our psalm today sums up their actions so well. Let me read you a bit of our psalm. It says, "At Horeb they made a calf, and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea." God saved them with miracles, and yet they forgot God. They were impatient, so they turned to an idol. God became inconvenient, so they make a god of their own. And it becomes clear that they want a visible god. They want a god with a face, just like everybody else. They want a god that fits their agenda. They want a god that fits with the gods of other nations. They create their own god. And they label this god their savior. This is verse 4. "Aaron took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord.'" And what we're learning here is that we can worship a false god, or we can worship God in a false way. That's what we see here in the story today. Because it does seem like the people want something new, right? God feels inconvenient, and so they want new gods to go before them. But then Aaron is trying to make it look like it's worship to the real God, right? He says, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So we're seeing both. We can worship a false god, or we can worship God in a false way. Now, is one any worse than the other? No, they're both equally wrong. You see, despite Aaron's best intentions, the people abandoned faithfulness to God. Despite Aaron trying to make it holy, trying to meet people where they're at, this worship was completely unacceptable to God. God delivered his people through incredible miracles, so that any reader reading this story, it just seems like that their idolatry is so frustrating and wrong. But honestly, how different are we? We have been delivered from sin and death through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which is an incredible miracle. Yet many of us turn away from the real God and turn to our own ideas of what God is like or what God has said, and we pick and choose what feels good to us, ignoring or redefining what feels inconvenient to our modern sensibilities, effectively creating a God of our own design. And this is worshiping God falsely. Our ideas about God that we make up are idols, just like the golden calf, silently affirming whatever we choose to make. And if we continue to cling to these idols, they will drag us to our deaths. We might not see ourselves as worshiping idols, but just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. So you must be wondering, like, what is an idol? Let me give you a definition. An idol is anything more important to you than God. An idol is anything you seek to give you what only God can give you. So ask yourself, what am I turning to for meaning besides God? Or who has the final say in how I live my life besides God? Well, Jesus gives us two hints in the parable of the wedding banquet. So here's the parable. A king gives a wedding banquet for his son, and he sends his servants to call on those who have been invited. But those who have been invited make light of the invitation, and they ignore it, and they go completely about their business. Actually, some even seize the king's servants and mistreat them and kill them. The king is so enraged at this that he sends his army, to destroy these people and burn down their city. Now, I bet we're pretty confident that we're not killing anybody. But the people who reject God's invitation didn't all do that. Some simply made light of the invitation and went about their life. Yet they all faced the same fate. This is verse 5. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The one person's field and the other person's business are self-made things that were more important than God, that functioned as their meaning in life, because no one turns their back on their meaning in life. So those were their idols that made them reject the invitation of the king. And so ask yourself, what's my field? What's my business? What's that idol that's turning me away or distracting me from an invitation from the king, preventing us from living for Jesus? You see, anything that you care about more than God does that. So there could be many things, but today I just want to give you two examples. A big one in our Western culture is our ideologies, our political commitments, our convictions on social justice. Now, I'm not saying that convictions are bad, not at all. But I want us to take a look at the current social landscape. There's so much vitriol in our political discourse, and that's because our political ideologies take on divine authority. Our contempt to those on the wrong side of history automatically receives the comfortable assurance of divine approval. But the problem is, we're not making sure that God is saying what we're saying. We're just acting like that. Or we don't actually care what God has to say about anything, especially our politics. We just do what we want anyways. As Anne Lamott wisely points out, you can safely assume you created God in your image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. When you won't allow God to shape your politics, but instead your politics shapes what you believe about God, you've made an idol. But idolatry isn't just found in politics. Some of us are quick to point out that we're not political. We just feel that everyone needs to live in peace and kindness with everyone else, and then just live your life, right? We're just normal people. We're not philosophical. We're not theological. We're not political. You know, we go to work. We pay our bills. We play with our kids. We watch Netflix. You know, normal stuff. But this normal stuff is like the business in the parable, something that keeps us so busy, or just enough busy, that we ignore the invitation of the king. So when you won't allow God to reshape your family life, but instead your family life, so your entertainment or your vacations, shape how you give and how you serve God, you've made an idol. Both our ideologies and our want for a normal life easily become idolatry if they make no room for God's voice to determine what is good and true and how we should live our lives. This is worshiping a false god. Our idols, our false gods, will conveniently endorse whatever politics are fashionable. Our idols will always endorse a normal life with our creature comforts. But these same idols will eat us alive. Whatever you love more than God will destroy you. As David Foster Wallace points out, anything we worship will eat us alive. So if you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. Worship power, and you will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need even more power over others to keep the fear at bay. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Idols destroy you, but the real God gives you life. Idols demand your life, but the real God gives his life for you. I mean, listen, when God was angry at Israel's idolatry, Moses admitted their sin and he asked for mercy. But Jesus didn't just confess our sins, he became our sin. And he gave his life on the cross for us, so that we not only get the mercy of God, but we get God's love and life, and we get it today. God's life and love are given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why St. Paul, though he's in prison and he's facing incredible hardships, and he writes and tells us to stand firm and rejoice in the midst of our hardships. I mean, notice that in his letter to the Philippians, he's not telling us to put on a fake smile or to have a stiff upper lip. Over and over again, he says to stand firm and rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Not in our self-made identities, not in our fashionable beliefs, not in our creature comforts, but in Jesus Christ, the Lord. All other things are just idols. They're just things that can be taken away. But in Jesus, we find our true meaning. And that's forever. We can worship a false god. We can worship God in a false way. Or we can worship the only one who loves and saves us, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Which choice will you make? Let's pray. Creator God, forgive us for worshiping the things you have made. No person or thing should be our hope or our trust. You alone are self-existent and all-sufficient. May you be our all in all. Amen.